lots of news to discuss since we last spoke on Sunday. The Challenge Cup draw, it was announced on Monday evening that Leeds are coming to Oddsall in 21-day time. It's the dream tie you asked for.
It is, yeah. We've been, we've had the luck of the draw because the reward for beating Featherstone will certainly, hopefully, be a good payday for the club in general. But more importantly for us from a performance perspective, it will give us a real chance to test ourselves against what's still a very, very good Super League team.
It's a huge tie for the club and the city, but also for those Bradford Bull supporters who have stuck by the club through some difficult times in recent years.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a reward for them, isn't it? Because obviously they have had some tough time. I think 2 years ago we probably bottomed out with regards to where we're from a playing perspective in League One. But I think ever since Andrew Chalmers and Graham Lowe came in, I think there's been a more stability off the field, which obviously allows you to progress in a sustainable manner on the field and off it. So, you know, we are building, we are growing, we are improving on and off the field. And obviously this Leeds tie will give us an opportunity to test ourselves and see if that is in fact the case. And I don't just mean on the field of play, I mean how we handle a big occasion off the field as well, because, you know, we all remember the Bulls' razzle-dazzle when in the heyday of Super League when Peter Deakin was here, and it really wasn't an event to come to. It wasn't just a rugby league game, it was an event to come to. So it'll be fascinating to see how well we do with regard to the whole day that Saturday, especially with the BBC cameras coming along as well.
It's the first cup meeting between the two sides since the final at Cardiff in 2003, and you've just sort of answered the next question I was going to ask you, John, which is the club will be under the microscope, not just what happens on the field, but how they promote the game, market the game, and potentially some might see it as a marker or yardstick to the club's ability to function in Super League.
I would agree with you, yeah. I think we've got to accept that, and it's a challenge. It's not only a challenge for the performance staff and the playing group, it's a challenge for everybody within the club, and it's one I'm certainly happy to embrace and will look forward to embracing. And, you know, the microscope's on national television, so I suppose it ain't that smaller microscope, is it? It's a pretty big microscope. When, I mean, I know because I do work with the BBC, and there's a fair few people watch on the Saturday afternoon of the Cup tie week, of the Challenge Cup weekend. So, you know, it will be examined, but hopefully we'll come through with flying colours both on and off the field.
How do you guard against any complacency, any distractions? Because it is a massive game, and already there's a lot of momentum on social media. People, lap supporters who've not been and watched the Bradford Bulls in nearly a decade are coming out of the woodwork and saying, how can I get tickets? You know, when's the game going to take place?
Well, I certainly don't think there'll be any complacency, because we're playing from a championship, we're playing a Super League team. But with regard to, you know, the other organisation, it's as we've said, and we've got to really demonstrate how good that we are. And, I mean, my main sort of perspective is that's 4 weeks away, Mick. You know, I mean, we've got four crucial championship games prior to that, and it's a matter of making sure that the fellas have got their feet on the ground and realise we've got to post some good performances in the meantime. You know, we've got a heck of a challenge on Good Friday with Halifax. We've got tough backing up against Barrow, then we've got Rochdale, then obviously we're over to Toronto. So my mind's more on the immediacy of the Easter weekend, but then also there's the logistics of travelling to Toronto, getting them back, and then obviously preparing for that massive game against Leeds. So it's busy, but it's great to be involved with the Bulls. You know, a Halifax derby, Good Friday, the trip to Toronto, the Leeds Cup tie, the Halifax game at the Summer Bash. I mean, my word, what a great 6-8 weeks we're having as people involved with the Bradford Bulls.
John Magrin went on loan to the London Scholars. Can you tell us a little bit about that move?
Yeah, I mean, John's, you know, he's one of the middle unit players that we've got here. We were realistic as to where he was with regard to the pecking order, especially with sort of Colton Roach coming in. and he needs to play. You know, it's no good John telling me in training that he could make the 17, or John demonstrated training he could. He's also got to demonstrate on the field of play, and he's got certain targets he's got to hit with regard to his performances before, you know, we can consider that. But he's a month away from here, and it may well refresh him, reinvigorate him and re-enthuse him, and he may well come back a better player and ready to sort of push for that middle unit place within the 17.
And on Wednesday, John, it was announced that Dane Chisholm's joined Featherstone for the remainder of the season. Is this a move that's going to benefit both parties?
I think so, yeah. We wouldn't have done it otherwise. Yeah, I mean, obviously we feel that we've made a performance decision that it's for the benefit of this current playing group. I think that the club's made a decision as well as for the benefit of the club, and I think obviously that obviously Featherstone will feel it will benefit then, and Dane feels that he may well go there and be able to earn another contract. So I'd like to thank Dane for all he's done at the club in the past couple of years or so, and since I've been here, and wish him well for the future, except when Featherstone play Bradford.
Can he feature against
Oh,
Bradford?
Yes, yeah. I mean, I don't see any point in, you know, in hamstringing sort of Dane. And, you know, you never know if the deal becomes permanent, etc. So there's all sorts of twists and turns. But for me, it's a winner, win-win all round.
And in terms with Dane going off to Featherstone, that's a real chance for Jordan Lilley and Rowan Milnes to develop a 6-7 partnership?
Well, I think all you've got to do is look at the last few games. Have we won 4 on the trot or something? And predominantly featuring amongst those wins, we've had a settled half-back partnership, and the settled half-back partnership's been Milnes and Lilley. So we've pinned our colours to their mast at the minute. There's a slight hope we want Joe Keyes back, you know, within the next sort of 8 weeks or so. But at the minute, we've pinned our colours to the Milnes and Lilley mast. And, you know, and this was another reason when we discussed Dane. I mean, Dane would have stood in the way of Rowan getting this experience and acquiring this experience, because I certainly think Rowan Milnes can be the Bradford halfback for the next 10, 12 years. And we've got to grow him and develop him into that.
How are your preparations going for the trip to the Shea tomorrow? I think we were both present at that recent game against London last week, John.
Yeah, they were great, weren't they, Halifax? They really were very, very good indeed. I mean, it wasn't a win that they nicked. It was a win that they thoroughly deserved. They were better than London. That's the top and bottom of it. And we've done a fair bit of prep about them through video. It's been obviously a light week. We've only had 5 days since the last training, so physically it's been light, but perhaps mentally it's been strenuous, because we've thrown a fair bit at them. First of all, reviewing Featherstone, but and then reviewing their individual work, but also then looking as a group at what Halifax bring to the party. So and they bring a lot. They bring a lot, believe you me. You know, they've got a great back five, you know, the three quarters and QLT, absolutely outstanding, asked some good questions. Really impressed with Woodburn, Hall and White at half-back against London. And they've got a big, tough forward pack with people like Dan Fleming, you know, Bobby Fairbank and Cavanaro, who's obviously been here at Bulls. All orchestrated by clever hookers. And then Barber and Leroy are on the edge. So they've got a very, very good rugby league team, and they'll be up for this. They'll be relishing a chance to turn the Bulls over, but we'll be relishing that chance as well. And from a personal point of view, it'll be my first experience of a competitive Halifax-Bradford derby, and obviously at the Shea, which is a great compact ground, and I believe will generate a great atmosphere.
Richard Marshall's side, John, they'll be looking to make sure that performance wasn't just a flash in the pan. And how are you going to try and combat those threats?
Well, I can tell Richard and Halifax it wasn't a flash in the pan, because, you know, people have been saying Halifax have been a bit scratchy and this, that. Well, they've been a bit scratchy because they've had about 8 or 9 people missing. That's been one of the reasons. And I've always stressed that they'll get it right. As the season progresses, they'll get it right. And it certainly looked to me as if they got it right against London. So we've got to attempt to make sure they don't get it right again on Good Friday. So they are a very good Championship Rugby League team, believe you me. And should we go there and get the points, I'll tell you that'll be one of the performances of the season.
Busy period. We're just starting the Easter fixtures, John. Game 2 of 4 in 13 days. Will Halifax play in Thursday, give themselves a bit of an advantage?
Well, I'm sure they'll think that, because obviously I think that's the reason they decided to play Thursday, you know, knowing full well we were playing on the Sunday. But yeah, it does get, I mean, it gives you a bit of luxury with regard to recovery and diagnosing and rehabbing injuries. And as I say, it gives you a bit more time as well to analyse the opposition and put a plan in place. But that's how it is, Mick. I mean, I've never ever in all my time in rugby league, and I've been in rugby league a long time, and I've played Easter fixtures as well as coached Easter fixtures, and you've either to get on with it or you have to moan about it. Well, we ain't going to moan about it. We're going to attack Easter, and we're going to get as much as we can out of those four games.
In the previous game, John, the side were 10 minutes away from a John Keir blasting. I think you mentioned that yourself after a disappointing 65 minutes against Featherstone. But then they played with a more expansive game as they chased the game and ultimately got the win. Can we expect to see a bit more ambitious game plan, or is that just a one-off?
No, they're ambitious game plans all the time. But I mean, we adapt our game plans to who we're playing. And in all honesty, against Featherstone, we couldn't generate the ruck speed, and that's, we've got to credit them for their control of the ruck, and we couldn't just generate it until they tired a little in that last 65 minutes. And we've got to remember as well, they had the ball for 7 sets of 6 when they got that 18-point lead for that. So they scored 2 tries within that. And all we had the ball was David Feggin-Johnson, who just spilled it. And then Foggin-Johnson and Ethan Ryan got tackled in their own in goal with repeat sets. So those were the only time we touched the ball in 7 sets. They scored 2 tries, which took them 18 in front. Then leading up to the last 10 minutes, which is what you're spoken about, when we played that free-flowing football, they only had the ball for 2 sets themselves. So the momentum was based upon possession, and the type of football you could play is based upon possession. Well, if you ain't got the ball, you can't be expansive. You know, you're rolling your sleeves up and you're having to hang in the game and defend your backside off. If you have got the ball, then obviously you can sense where the gaps are, you can play eyes-up football, and that's exactly what they did.
And Ethan Ryan, John, he's played 4 games now at fullback. How do you feel he's settling into that position for the club?
I think he's doing great. Yeah, I think he's doing real good. I mean, we've chatted about this on numerous occasions, and whether to give him a go there and so on. And as Lee Beattie, Mark Dunne have told me, he played there as a junior, and he played there very well as a junior. And I think he's demonstrating that at the minute. So yeah, it's going, as a project, it's going very, very well indeed. He's added a certain something to us, but it'll remain to be seen whether he plays both games at fullback over Easter.
And I think for some sections of the support base, John, who are perhaps saying moving Ethan to fullback means, you know, it cuts down our attacking threat. I think you've only just got to look at that Featherstone game. He scored another try, he's 8 for the season, and he had 2 assists for Defoggin-Johnson and Dalton Grant.
Yeah, well, 1 try and 2 assists out of 4 tries isn't a bad return, is it? So, you know, I mean, you know, everybody's got opinions, fans have got opinions, players have got opinions, coaches have, etc. But what you've got to do, you've got to have the convictions of your belief, and I've certainly got that. That's why I've been in the game as long as I've been in the game. And, you know, at the minute we feel it's for the benefit of us as a team. And that's my sole decision-making criteria, is what will benefit Bradford Bulls with regard to getting a successful season. And if it's playing Ethan Ryan at fullback, so be it. If it's releasing Dane Chisholm, so be it.
And just finally, John, Ethan's one of a number of players that are going to be out of contract at the end of 2019. Have talks started with the players you and the club want to keep?
Yes. Talks have certainly started, yes. And obviously that's a long-term project for us with regard to next season. But there'll be no talks going on over Easter, I'll tell you, Mick, because all it'll be doing is playing, preparing, reviewing rugby league. So there won't be any talks going on over Easter.
I don't think you'd have it any other way, John, would you?
Not at all, no.